fighting for America.
Yeah, cop just got shot.
I saw him. He got shot in the face.
Yeah, he got shot. I saw that. Laid on the ground. I didn't get him, but I saw him. They taking cover. It was none of the protesters. It was at least 500 feet up Tiffin. We didn't see it.
Fighting for Idaho.
Seriousness, the violence that took place, it's really sad and really shocking, and we hope to never hear of something like this again. You know, I mean, this is really just terrible, terrible.
Fighting for you.
How much traffic control does the city of Eagle need, for crying out loud? Everybody understands green light, red light.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
He's a five-year-old.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
It's a movement that's been started by a lot of conservative lawmakers, a lot of conservative commentators and writers and opinion leaders. The need to take a look at the Constitution, maybe the state Constitution, perhaps even the federal Constitution. A gentleman who is an activist, a contributor to this program, a person who has dedicated his life to making America better, joins us now to discuss. Our friend Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, Munns Tom Twitter. Good morning, sir.
Wow, what an intro. Thanks, Kevin.
You're quite welcome.
Well,
good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I wanted to talk about the what we call in the CONCON, or a constitutional convention, and the states right now are all applying for, with tremendous support, by the way, applying to Congress for a constitutional convention for the purpose of proposing an amendment. Now, most people would say, and it's actually a balanced budget amendment they're actually going for.
Well, wasn't this why John Kasich came to town, Governor Kasich?
Yeah. I went to the press conference and stuff.
And you got into it with Governor Kasich, did you not?
Well, I got to ask one of the three questions that they allowed. It seemed to be enough controlled resistance, but I was enough to be able to get in there and ask my question, and he basically just kind of glazed over it. But the amount of support in it is overwhelming, and what we're finding out, it's a lot like Nancy Pelosi's legacy, that we need to pass something before we know what's in it. This is very dangerous because there's so much support behind this. Even the conservative talking heads, Levin, Beck, you know, and the rest of them are all in tremendous support. Even Chuck Norris, the old Total Gym guy now, for some reason, is showing support for this thing. But it's incredibly dangerous for many different reasons. And what we're
okay, finding. So for here at 580 KIDO, so essentially, how would it work? Because again, not all of us are informed as you are, Tom, and none of us go have a smackdown with Governor Kasich when he's in town. So essentially, what you're talking about, rewriting state constitutions or the federal constitution?
The federal constitution.
All right.
They're all doing this because, oh my gosh, you know, we can't just do nothing. The federal deficit is over $18 trillion, and we have to just. You know, we have to change the Constitution so that we can force Congress to be able to obey itself.
Right. So you have Mark Levin, a friend of mine, Glenn Beck, who is on this station. They're advocating that the states get together and rewrite the Constitution. Isn't that a opening up Pandora's box?
Exactly. That's exactly what it's doing, Kevin. And the American people need to understand that there's a major drive behind this. There's a wolf pack, which is controlled by George Soros, is actually one of the contributors, and we've got people on both sides. I can't remember all of the names. I'm just trying to get a grip on the whole thing that's going on here. But the idea is that you know, as Article 5 says, it says the Congress, when 2/3 of both houses shall deem it necessary, which sounds to me that Congress actually has the control, doesn't it? Shall propose amendments to the Constitution or on the application of the legislatures of 2/3 of the several states. Now, that might seem like a bunch of gobbledygook for a lot of people, but we just need to look into what it is and just kind of learn a little bit more about it is. It just says, which in either case shall be valid to the intents and purposes of as part of the Constitution. The problem is that the states believe that they actually have the control under states' rights or states' powers to be able to dictate and regulate the convention, and they don't. We've got Congressional Research Service documents that Congress usually looks at when they're debating an issue that clearly defines on page 4, which I have right in front of me.
Well, you know, that's not very exciting when we're starting to quote page 4. So if this were to happen, led by a lot of folks that people support, and admire and, you know, follow and listen to, you could pretty much rewrite everything, right?
You could.
And the Constitution, when it was written, it's a lot different world back then than it is today.
And we're questioning, you know, and the only people that are in opposition to this are the John Birch Society and Eagle Forum and those that know enough, you know, and it's a rough issue because most people have learned to trust these talking heads for so long that everything that comes out of their mouth, it's almost godlike. And it isn't that they're bad people. They're not. But some of the – we're asking some critical questions that just seem to not be able to – that can't be answered. One thing that I was talking about was that the they said, well, the founding – Kasich said the founding fathers, you know, gave Article 5 so we could propose amendments. Yeah, they did. The problem is that there's also a misappropriation of that amendment. When you start looking into the conventions of all of the old recorded founding father statements and all that, every single one of those things refers to fixing the Constitution, not reigning in a federal government.
Well, why in the world would you have, though, these guys that, again, have good followings, Mark Levin, a lawyer, he's written best-selling books, Glenn Beck, incredibly popular, we listen to him here. Why would they be in on it if there's a nefarious plot?
That's exactly what people are asking, and that's exactly why there's tremendous support for it. I mean, who's going to listen to Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, right, when we've got Glenn Beck and Mark Levin?
Look, that's what management says to me every time I have you on, so you don't really need to reinforce that one, Tom.
Right, but so let's think of something on the most basic level, okay? I try to keep things simple.
Well, look, I appreciate that because I'm a simpleton. Now, what about the people that are listening right now that say, Kevin, why do you have Tom on? He's lost it once again. He's a nut.
You know, it's okay because we will be vindicated one day. No, is that a good thing? No, I'll be exonerated one day. You know, I mean, I will be made to – people will see I've done a little bit of my homework. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm somebody that continues to study. But let's look at something on the most basic level that might be give some credibility to what I'm saying, okay?
So, again, for people tuning in at 580KIDO, we have Tom Munns with us, TomMunns.com, conservative activist, saying that there is a – and, again, I'm not trying to disrespect you here, Tom. There's a conspiracy – to throw out the Constitution, rewrite it. Is that correct? Am I paraphrasing it correctly?
Well, there is an effort to be able to rewrite the Constitution.
Wouldn't you call it a conspiracy?
I would call it, it depends on how you define conspiracy. If it's two or more people, planning to, you know, to do something arguably evil in secret, well, yeah.
What is this, John Grisham? You just said the conservative guys were in on it with Soros.
Well, you know, there is a possibility of being in support of something. See, America has done something really strange. We're no longer, and forgive me for saying this, but we're not as much the land of the free and the home of the brave as we are the land of the free of the scared. Everything that we do is in submission, in fear of submission. When you listen to the sheriffs and all of that, everything we do is because we're scared.
Right, so, but back to this point, what would they gain by, in fact, rewriting the Constitution? How would it be different from what we have today? Would there be no Second Amendment? Would there be no First Amendment? I mean, what do we know about the new Constitution that's being sold to people throughout the airwaves, throughout the internet, throughout the websites?
Well, the states all want to propose something different, so they're all coming to the table. Hawaii, I think it's called HJR 101, actually wants to completely abolish the Second Amendment, add the entire 906-page Obamacare bill. So if you've never read the Constitution, you certainly wouldn't read it. It was 906 pages bigger. And then there's a multitude of other states that want to be able to do something else. The thing that we're forgetting about, though, is the purpose of a convention Nadelson said it was a deliberative body. So if it's a deliberative body and we're calling a convention, then why would the states be able to propose regulations when it would violate the terms of that convention? So the states can't logically have control of a convention if they're giving up their control to a deliberative body.
Let's go to the phones. We go to Dale Pierce with us and Tom Munns and Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. So this has been interesting. But,
hello, yes, go ahead.
Tom was mentioning some of the personalities that are involved right now in promoting the convention. One of them is Wesleyan law professor Professor Belligerent, Mary Primrose, and she has said that there is no constitutional right is sacred, unquote. And that's her campaign. She wants to be at that convention. There's several others. How about Harvard Law School professor Lawrence Lessig? And his big thing is to, rewrite our Constitution, unquote, fame. And so these people will be there. And, of course, Idaho will send this delegation, and probably two at the most.
But that's got to, I mean, that's a long way from happening, right?
That's a long way from happening. But, however, the bills are before the legislature as we speak. And it could happen. And with the mindset we have right now and the co-sponsors, half the House is co-sponsoring it, it probably will happen if we don't do something about it.
Dale, thank you for the call. We go to Lee in Nampa at 580KIDO with Tom Munns, Kevin Miller, and you. Good morning, Lee.
Hi there. Hey, I've done a lot of research on this as well, and I think what Tom's trying to maybe try to articulate is that the Congress has the right to bring forth an amendment, and it requires a supermajority. And when you open up a constitutional convention, you open up everything, and it's going to be so much more difficult to actually propose an amendment and get it to be agreed upon by players that we don't know who really are going to be involved. And we know that if there is a constitutional convention, that all of the ideas from the left and everywhere else are going to come forth, and it does literally open everything up. It is a dangerous thing to present. There's a way to do it through Congress, and if we believe that we can do pass an amendment, then we just need to do it through the normal methods. I think a constitutional convention is very dangerous because, I mean, all you have to do is just look at the ideas out there.
Just look at what's going on in the Supreme Court. Lee, thank you for the call. Tea Party Bob and Tom Munns, all we need is Pat from Middleton. Good morning, sir.
What happened to Pat? He's doing such a great job there.
He had to go.
Ah. Tom, just two quick things. First of all, why do we need to change the Constitution we have? We haven't been able to enforce the one we have, and if we did enforce the one we had, we would not have a problem. Nobody would be asking for any changes. The other thing is John Kasich came out here, and he talked about how we needed to get a balanced budget amendment, and at the same breath, he tells us that he's going to take $50 billion from the federal government for Medicaid expansion, and he says we should do the same thing. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, nor can I understand why we need to change anything in a Constitution. They spent a lot of time putting that together, and it served us for 239 years. And you want to change it now? For what purpose? I don't get it.
Well, the one thing that I've been commonly saying lately is that I was telling Kevin that it might make it easier for people to understand is, let's look at this thing logically and lawfully, okay? So let's say we have a legislature that creates a law, right? Are there any specific words that you can add to the law that would alleviate the need for law enforcement? No, there aren't, are there? We need law enforcement to be able to enforce the law, right? Well, so how is it that we can think logically that we're going to go ahead and put these magic words in a constitution? We're going to open up the complete volatility and dangerousness of opening up this constitution, and we're going to go ahead and insert these words, and somehow Congress is going to go, whoa, those are special words. Those are in a bigger font or bold. So the point being is that you can clearly see, at least in my view, that this is a pretty simple concept to be able to understand. Words do not enforce anything. The people, you have the law enforcement that enforces the laws of the state and whatever, and then you have the people and the knowledge and the power and the authority of the legislature and the people of the several states that, with their knowledge and their understanding, are the enforcement arm in the perpetuity of freedom.
Tom, just one more thing.
All right. Hold on, Tom. We're short on time here. Quickly,
Tom,
Tea Party Bob.
One,
yes.
One comment, okay? Do you really think that our legislators today are smarter than the ones who actually wrote our Constitution? That's the question.
Good point. Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot to Liberty Linda at 580KIDO.
Yes, good morning. I'd just like to say that I agree with Tom Munns and Dale, and you cut right through it, Kevin. You got it. You understood it. The last thing we want is a con-con.
Well, that's why you're Liberty Linda.
Yes. All right. Have a great day.
Thank you, ma'am. Boy, what a sweet sweetheart there, a real great smile. Hey, Tom, if people want to stop this, what can they do?
Well, they need to start calling their – they need to contact their legislators. There actually is a solution. I probably don't have time to talk about it. But if they are interested in that solution, I actually have several of them because that's what the legislature
sure.
is going to be asking for.
And they can reach you at Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, Munns Tom Twitter. Tom, we got to run, but thank you.
Thank you, brother, for having
me. All right.
Me.
Our great friend Tom Munns, TomMunns.com. You like bacon?
Oh, I love bacon.
Yeah. You and I have, like, physiques built by bacon.
Yeah. Probably so.
I've listened. Okay, thanks, Pat from Middleton. We appreciate that.
Must hear radio every morning.
Thank God it's
Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Thank God it's
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, 827. Coming up, continued commentary on the fallout in Ferguson. Does it impact us here? Of course, one thing that does impact us, the high cost of gas. Yeah, it's not what it once was. We've got the legislature debating whether or not we're going to build the roads and bridges. Joining us now, Dave Carlson from AAA Idaho. Dave, good to have you with us. How are you?
Well, I'm waking up. I'm one of those slow risers, but when I get going, you can't stop me.
I'm with you. I wake up at usually about 9:01 every day.
Well, yeah, that's what I hear.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about gas prices. What a great run we've had. By the way, I want to thank you for that because we usually blame you when they go up. So I want to give you credit for magically lowering the prices, so much so that we were at one time the lowest in the country. Maybe we still are.
No, that we sort of ended that little run. For about a month ago, there was a period of about 3 weeks where we were the lowest or second only to Utah, where we get the majority of our gasoline. Since then, we've seen a pretty good run up, a 38-cent increase in just the past 14 days, and it looks like we're back on track to our old reputation.
Indeed. So what can we do? Storm the state house, maybe? You'll lead the charge.
Well, I'll lead the charge. You know, we've been involved in the funding debate or lack thereof for the last number of years, and in years past, we've been willing to stand up. We did so in 2009. We said, you know, we're not so much against raising are paying a bit more for gas taxes as necessary, but we sure don't want to do it if Idaho maintains this reputation as having among the highest gasoline prices for a good part of the year. And so, you know, here's a message. Gasoline prices are not static. They won't stay low. We can tell you without any reservation that gasoline prices will rise this year. And we may get somewhere to that average of 340, the magic average price that we paid all of last year. When that happens, if gasoline tax is in the sights of lawmakers to fix their roads, then we want them to be looking at everything else as well.
Well, and that's their conundrum because, you know, when they were artificially low, Dale, it was great. It was, you know, we're going to do 8 cents for gas, 12 cents for diesel. That's been toned down to 5 cents and then put a penny in. And again, you're a nonpartisan transportation roads consumer kind of guy, but I mean, is it just neglect? We have more people on the roads. You would think that would be more revenue to the state, and yet our lawmakers tell us we're $262 million away from, you know, having a functional infrastructure.
Yeah, it's not that easy. We're actually using about the same amount of gas that we were 20 years ago when the population was closer to 1 million. So we've got better vehicles that get better mileage. Even though we've got fewer or more cars on the road, we're not collecting as much. And then the whole issue of 3 cents or 5 cents or 10 cents or 25 cents, 20 years ago, is not worth the same kind of money these days. So there's been a certain amount of neglect. Certainly, we should have been you know, maintaining the increases as we went on to match what was going on with the age and condition of our roads and bridges.
You know, it's incredible, though. On one hand, the federal government was telling us that we need to get these electric hybrid vehicles to be more efficient. And then when we do, you have the revenue decreasing. It's kind of like the government wants you to quit smoking, and yet they're complaining that the anti-smoking lobby doesn't have enough money, which they derive from the smoking, the tobacco industry.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe we've got to change the whole paradigm. We had been saying for years, if you really want to do it the right way, and this sounds like crazy talk to some people, maybe you just start charging for mileage. We've got some artificial registration fees out there that don't measure anything except the government's ability to take some money from our pockets. And the registration fees that we have for big trucks just are not working. Those guys are essentially running the roads, the big guys, and they're not paying for what they're using. So we're not as nonpartisan as you might be led to believe. We're out there trying to do the right thing, and if that means getting everyone to pay a bit more, then we're more in line to do that than to lose the whole thing.
Well, the problem, though, is that, you know, here you have people that, you know, drive, you know, their little four-cylinder, six-cylinder cars, and like you said, they don't chew up the roads. And then you have the big trucks. We love trucks. Heck, it makes America what it is. And they're not paying their fair share. I want to hit you with something, because I believe that Oregon is experimenting with this usage tax. It's going to be a pilot program?
Yeah, this is actually their second go-around. They did one of these about 5 years ago. This one asked for volunteers who would pay at the pump, and then essentially they would be rebated based on the mileage they've used at the end of that period, and they would pay for the actual mileage that they use. So they're not going to pay a gasoline tax. And that's the idea behind the whole thing. If you went real time, real distance, and the whole works, you could get us off the gasoline tax, which is a pretty regressive tax anyway, and you'd charge for what people use. So if you're required to drive a lot and that's what you do, then you pay a lot, or you pay more than the guy that doesn't. We use the example of the 80-year-old guy that goes to the grocery store once a week and puts on 2,000 miles on his vehicle. Why should he pay the same amount registration-wise as the guy that does 20,000 miles? It just doesn't make sense. And the same holds true for trucks.
Dale, we always appreciate it. We'd love to have you back. So essentially, gas prices are going to go up. We should enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, get out there and gas up before they change. This morning, we saw just on my way to work a station that was one of the Jackson stations that was at 239, I believe, yesterday. It was at 254 this morning. And so the increases relative to an explosion and fire down in Torrance, California, a couple weeks ago, all of those increases may not have shown up just yet. So long term, we think gasoline prices will stabilize, but near term, they're still on the way up.
Dale, you have a great day. Thank you for your insight, sir.
Thanks.
All right, Dale Carsell with us from AAA. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Oh, the days of Dancing Danny Wright, Todd Rundgren, Kevin Miller in the morning. 580 KIDO, I cannot do justice to the great disc jockeys, which I am not one who would intro this song again and again and again. Of course, how many of us growing up, or maybe when we were adults, would listen to this every Friday afternoon on the way home? Oh, yes. Gotta love Todd Rundgren. I could go on and on, and I guess this would be more like the Monday theme, but it is the anyway. Okay, 580KIDO, thank you very much for being with us. We were talking about earlier how blessed we are to live in Idaho, and how when we travel outside of Idaho, how, you know, you talk to people in airports or in other states, and they kind of look at you kind of funny. And Idaho, one of the best-kept secrets ever when it comes to just quality of life, family values, and that's a lifestyle, not a phrase here. Then I was thinking of the rest of the country, and I was thinking of this forum that we are so blessed, you and I, we are so blessed to carry the mantle of our great predecessors of expressing the First Amendment, whether we agree with each other or not, whether we agree with each other politically or not. I believe conservatism morality is under attack. Thanks to your support, we can protect Idaho family values on the airwaves through our great clients, sponsors, partners, and you, the militia, the Miller Militia. And I have seen a world where conservatism talk radio is attacked and vilified, and people that attack the very institutions that have kept America safe, like the police, like the Constitution, like the Declaration of Independence, ridiculed, vilified. Look at what happened in Ferguson. You know, if I wasn't doing this, I'd like to think that I could have been a police officer. When I took the ASVAB test, they said, boop, 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 off the charts. You should be a police officer. Well, you'd have to be in shape. And as the folks that were in the ER last night at St. Luke's, led by my boy Ronnie and Dr. Mike, can attest, I need to get in shape. More on that coming up at a blog near you at 580kido.com, entitled My Overnight Stay at the ER Last Night. I digress, though. That's what they call a tease. When you think of your kids, your grandkids, the values that you need to protect. You know, Hillary Clinton was caught breaking State Department protocol, and yet people lie to keep her in. We have people saying that the cops deserved it. Method Man from the Wu-Tang Clan, a hip-hop legend, was interviewed by News Nation's Tamron Hall, who I've gone toe-to-toe with, has about, you know, the personality of whatever, was interviewed on MSNBC saying, well, you reap what you sow. What?
Yeah. I'm looking at my situation being searched at 13, illegally searched at 13, and I'm on my way to a menial paying job at, for some youth employment, just minding my business, and I'm getting searched in my own building where I live at. Yeah, the police, you know? But in the same sense, you got to understand that it's all about...
Wow. Remember when Ice Cube did that song, F the police, and I apologize for saying that. And remember that, blah, 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 or maybe it was Public Enemy. So when we're talking about respect and values, when we're talking about statistics that bear out perhaps why Mr. Klan or Mr. Method Man was searched, instead of complying, he's rebelling against the police, led by the accessory, the media.
Oh, fear.
Yeah.
They're
both sides.
On both sides, exactly. We're afraid of the police, of what they can do and the power that we think that they wield, as far as if something happens to me from a police officer, will it be covered up? Will there be justice for me? Whatever. Same with the cops is, we don't live in these neighborhoods. We just know what we see on television or what other officers have told us. And we're just as frightened as these people,
yeah.
You know, but we have guns.
Right.
And when you deal with human nature, not just this is an officer who's dealing with things professionally, he's still a human being. Mm-hmm. And when that fear kicks in, you never know what can happen. I mean, I just made an analogy the other day about how someone can tap you on your shoulder, scare the mess out of you, and your first reaction to turn around and you might smack them.
Yeah.
Imagine if you have a gun in your hand. Mm.
Imagine, is this woman going to ask a compelling interview? Sir, what are you getting at, sir? What are you rambling on about? Okay, so you made a lot of money selling rap records. Now you're psychologist to the nation?
It's the same thing. Now, with this thing that happened, I guess, in Ferguson just now with the two officers, sad. Very sad. I hate to say that that FBI report kind of played into this, and these things shouldn't be happening, but you reap what you sow, in a sense. You know, if that FBI report would have never came out and, you know, the scandal or whatever.
You reap what you sow. Notice the young lady on MSNBC didn't challenge him. Sir, the FBI report exonerated Officer Wilson. The FBI report exonerated all the Ferguson police officers. There was no crime. Was there an issue involving alleged quotas when it comes to making tickets? Yeah. But was anybody arrested? You reap what you sow. So you're saying these officers, sad as it was, deserve to be shot? This is what's going on outside of our great state of Idaho.
And how they're, basically giving people, paying the city by giving people tickets and things like that.
Right. Shoot somebody in the face. And once again, the complicity, how they're in on it, of MSNBC. John and Wilder with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, John.
Kevin, I have three words for you today, and I give you the permission to copyright whatever you want to do with them. I have never heard anybody come up with this analogy. Google, okay. Do you know what the word ogle means? Staring at somebody.
Oogle,
you know?
Yes, oogle, yes.
Yeah, don't ogle my whatever. So government, ogle. Google.
Fair enough. Thank you, John. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, 848. Time for traffic now.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Is there hope for America? I think so. Sheriff David Clark, Milwaukee County, had this to say to Neil Cavuto concerning the war on the police.
Well, this war on our nation's finest, the American police officer, continues, but it continues to be fueled by some very important people. I think it's empty rhetoric for what Eric Holder offered today and the president through a tweet, of all things, when they have now an obligation to stand up and remind people in these urban ghettos and these American ghettos that they have a responsibility to comply with law enforcement officers' commands. If we want to end these deadly encounters between police and citizens, then we have to tell these young black men to stop attacking the police, stop fighting the police, stop resisting the police when they're trying to pull you over, and cooperate with their lawful commands. And if they have complaints about the way they're treated, some of these may be justified. There's a process for that. So, you know, the fact that Eric Holder released this report last week, and by the way, that was a junk report because there was no objectivity. He cherry-picked a few emails and he misapplied and used a misapplication of data and statistics.
You're talking about the one where he said there was blatant racism.
There you have it, our own Neil Cavuto. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Now, there were dueling protests last night in Ferguson, which really gives you an insight into how life is different in these hotbeds of racial tension than here in our beloved Idaho. And by the way, as I'm sitting here taking a look at this and listening to it, this is all fueled by the media. The sheriff's right. David Clark is right. It's all fueled by the media. It's all fueled by Eric Holder. It's all fueled by an administration that refuses any type of responsibility for making race relations worse in America today. And that would have been good if it would have fired. However, that would be not the case. Eric Holder did have a lot to say. However, we'll get to that in a minute. But let's hear from some folks last night in Ferguson.
It's a wake-up call for those of us in law enforcement. It's kind of a reality check. And it's not to say that we've done things wrong, but it is a kind of a call to, hey, let's take a look at the way we do things and see if we can improve upon them.
Right. However, on the other hand,
a lot of people are upset. There's a lot of different emotions going on. Some people are happy. Some people still feel like there was no justice served.
Now, listen to this young lady. There's a lot of emotion going on. Some people are happy. Some people are happy. There's a lot of emotion going on. And Eric Holder calling the suspect a punk doesn't go far enough. And as we've talked about time in and time out, it's really very simple. There was no objectivity. The Ferguson Police Department were guilty. The officer was guilty. And that's the bottom line. When you have the Attorney General, the top law enforcement official of the United States of America, who wants to brainwash us against guns, our Second Amendment right under the Constitution, going to Ferguson to investigate, and while the looters, the pillagers, the rioters, the criminals are burning down this small town, he's investigating the police department. Where's his priority, right? And where's the president? Where's his boss? Well, you know, Selma and Ferguson. And you're going, the folks in Selma were beaten, many of them imprisoned, many of them killed. You know, singing the song, We Shall Overcome, in a nonviolent way. What do you think the Freedom Riders would think of the shenanigans emanating from Ferguson, Missouri today? Again, another great message. Thank God we live in Idaho. 8:58, Kevin Miller in the morning. Time for traffic now. Kevin Miller in the morning, a brief personal message. You might have heard me talk a little bit about being in the ER last night at St. Luke's. My message to you, take care of yourself. Your health is something that you need to protect. No big deal, just not a lot of sleep. And we'll have the details coming up, but more on that later. Good day. Have a great weekend. God bless and keep the faith.